four, three, two.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. Today is a very, very special show. I am so pleased to have Master Paul Edwards from White Plains' own Exceptional Taekwondo Center. He's in the studio. He is my master because I train with Master Edwards. I'm a certified instructor at his school. And he's a person that I look up to. One of the people with integrity in this world. Someone I admire. Master Edwards.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having
good.
Me.
Good. Just bask in the glow of me praising you.
Very humbling.
You know, I originally trained in New Jersey,
yes,
and due to a certain situation, I had to move to Westchester, divorce, and I'm actually really pleased I'm out of Jersey and into White Plains. But one of the first things I had to do was find a new Taekwondo center to train at. And I looked around and I went to a lot of schools. But as you know, it's all about the vibe you get from the instructor.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't even want you in the school. A lot of people try to sell you the first second you're in the school. But you have a genuine love of the martial arts, of fighting, of children, of music. Some of them seem a little contradictory, but tell us about Exceptional Taekwondo Center.
Well, the idea of the school is to be welcoming. So when people come through the door, I don't like for anyone to feel rushed or hurried. We're not a hard sell. We do what we do, and we do it well. We train all ages from 3 years old. My daughter, as you've seen, just took her first promotion exam, so she is now a white belt with her black stripe.
At 3 years old?
3 years old. When they start young, the idea is to... I wish I had started when I was 3 years old. I mean, I didn't get to start actual training until I was around 11. But if I had started at three, it would have been amazing. And at 3 years old, they're not really... We're not teaching them the fight. We're more teaching them the discipline that parents are looking for, the ability to control themselves. These children, at 3 years old, they're starting to do a lot of things. 3, 4, and 5 years old, that's when they're starting to be introduced to music. I have so many of my students that play instruments that are in bands or in orchestra. One of our certified instructors, she's a violinist. I was talking to her about the, for all those violinists, they know the, I think she called it the violin hickey or something that they get that's on their neck all the time. But it's this age that they start doing other things, and Taekwondo is a discipline. So it helps them to formulate sequences. It helps them to become controlled and dedicated in training. So if they become dedicated in their Taekwondo training or their martial arts training, then they can become dedicated in their music and in school, and they know how to separate them. So we find that Taekwondo helps everything that they do.
Taekwondo is kind of viewed as a cure-all. In some ways.
Martial arts, that's what it does. It's a physical, it's mental, it's spiritual, it's motivating, it's humbling.
Hey, that's the black belt off, I have to say.
I've done it for over 25 years now, sometimes embarrassed to say. But it's something that you do for life. Very, like I tell you, it's very like music. You've played music all your life, and I can't see you stopping playing music. There'd be no reason except for, you know, your fingers.
Well,
tripping
I did.
Up.
I did stop for 4 years, and that's how I got into Taekwondo. I was living in Manhattan, and then I got married and moved to Jersey, and it was hard to gig from Jersey
to Manhattan.
And the business changed. A lot of DJs came in.
Video killed the music.
Right, video killed the radio star. I mean, at that time, it was like for $100, you can get a DJ in the bar that everybody's going to love because they're going to play exactly the songs you want, do them exactly the way they're supposed to be done. And it was a difficult time for me, and I just stopped playing music, and I was sitting around the house, depressed, maybe having a sip or two. And at that point, the Teaneck Camera Store changed hands and became Chunji Academy.
Right.
And my wife at the time said, get off your butt. Stop moping. Stop sitting around doing nothing. You said you always wanted to learn karate. Forgive me, sir.
The key word.
If it was a karate place, I would have done karate. So that's how I started. But, you know, for me, I became such a better musician when I became more coordinated and more disciplined.
I've seen you play, I can tell.
I've gotten better.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Like I said, it's a way to be. I have a lot of people that want to train. The number one comment, I'm also a personal trainer. I train people very hard.
Out of the school.
Out of the school, and I used to train in clubs and things like that. So one of the things that I always heard from people is, oh, sir, I want to train with you so bad. I want to train with you, but I have to get in a little bit better shape first. So it always cracked me up, because the idea was, they would say, I can't take Taekwondo because I'm not flexible. I'm not fast. I'm too heavy. And I would say, well, that's why you're supposed to be taking the martial arts, so that you can become fast, become flexible, not be heavy. So, like, it's a segue into a lot of things. I still remember a girl that I had was awesome. Awesome. She was very shy. She didn't do anything. And then she started doing Taekwondo, and she got a new confidence in herself. And all of a sudden, she quit Taekwondo because she was going to start riding horses. So,
do I know her?
She was very young oh. girl. So, you know, she trained from 5 until 8 or 9 years old. And then now she's got this great confidence. She's ready to get on this 10-foot beast. I have children that, like I said, play instruments. And the discipline you're talking about in playing helps you with your coordination. It also helps you on your confidence in order to stand in front of crowds or attack a piece of music that you want to play.
Well, we were talking about this off camera. For me, sometimes it's hard to perform, because I was taught, telling you, if I'm performing and some of the clubs I play at sell a lot of liquor and I'll be playing a song, and as I'm singing and playing, I will have someone walk up to me and start talking to me, asking me why I didn't play the song that they just asked for. And I'm not quite sure what to do. I know I can't punch him, and I know I can't disrespect him, but you have got me so that I hate disrespect. I just hate to be disrespected, because at the school I'm called Master Zeitel, or Mr. Zeitel, or actually now Master Z if they can't say. But, you know, and they don't, I also teach college algebra, and I say to them, you know, this is hard for me, because if you were at my Taekwondo school, it's down, give me 20 push-ups. Can't do that there.
Can't do that there.
But what's amazing to me is I just took my 4th-degree black belt test, and one of the comments that I got naturally was I had made a mistake with my bow staff, which is the long pole, kind of like Robin Hood and Little John.
The quarterstaff.
The quarterstaff, right. Took me so long to remember the bow staff. So anyway, you came and you demonstrated it, and someone came up and said, God, that guy, he moves like the wind. He's like a cougar. So I know you're a great dancer, too. Do you feel that, like, dance and...
Definitely. There's a funny thing when we train. You have to make the correlation between the two. There, I did a lot of tournament fighting, and I train a lot of tournament fighters, as you know, been as far as Ireland and all over the country.
Well, that's back the from specialty of the school.
No, well, you know, it's something we do. It's a very unique group that's able to do that. Like I said, when I go into competition, I try to train them to win. So out of the entire school, maybe there are 10 people that actually do this competing. But what I was going is that there's a certain type of fighter. You go training and we have paddles, or you have bags. You see people punching the bags and kicking the bags, and they look really, really great. But then when you get in to face them, they're not. it's called a paddle fighter. So
all show.
It's all show. But the thing about martial arts and dancing, it correlates so much. Especially a fight is very similar to a dance, and the fact that you're working on what the other person is doing. Many times in class we play music. If you see the great fighters that you see, if you think of all these fights that the boxers that you see, or the martial arts, or the UFC, all these guys that come in, you always watch them coming into music. And the ones that are really great, you see them, you know, they're bouncing down, they've got a rhythm going. When they're standing, their stance, not just standing, you know, straight up like this, you've got a rhythm going. So music is an integral part of training. Rocky music, hip-hop music, everything that requires some type of beat or movement is great for training.
Well, it's like dance. It's also like mental chess. You try to get your opponent to make a move that you have the counter for.
Definitely.
So you try to lure them into a trap, and you use certain sets.
Definitely.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the great thing about the school is this school, you train some great fighters, but if you don't really want to fight, you can do non-contact sparring, which is unusual. A lot of schools require sparring.
My term is we talk about being a martial artist. You'll understand from any conversation I say, and people have this mysticism of what a martial artist is. A martial artist is truly someone who has dedicated themselves to something, to be their best at it, not always the best at it. Just because you're a martial artist doesn't mean you can kill people or crush, or you can beat everybody that's in your way. One of the great things about becoming a martial artist is you go beyond that. You get above that. I see all these people who train, and they want to train hard. They want to be mean and nasty, and you want to kill people. Like, I got to protect myself, so I have to learn how to kill people. The thing is I teach self-defense. I teach self-defense in class. I teach self-defense to corporations. And the thing I say that it takes to defend yourself is audacity. My goddaughter plays the violin, like I said, and she has to sometimes go on this piece that's really hard. And it takes audacity to set up and try to play this hard piece. It takes audacity to defend yourself, to sit back. It's one thing to say, if somebody attacked me, I'd punch him right in the face, or I'd stab him in the throat. It takes audacity to set yourself up to do that. So the idea with being a martial artist is having that audacity when it's necessary. It's not easy to walk around mean. It's not easy walking around hating people or having that grimace on your face. So if you came into your martial arts school and every day you were required to be this mean, inhuman person, it would wear on you. You couldn't do that for a long time. You can take a group of 20 and train them that way, and maybe you will make one or two incredibly powerful, awe-inspiring people. But what happened to those other 18? You can do the same idea, make them very, very strong without making them mean, without feeding them gunpowder. You can make them be able to defend themselves. And that's been my philosophy. I want to take that happy young child, or that happy housewife, or that happy businessman, or even that street person, and I want them to be able to defend themselves when need be, not to walk around with that on their shoulders. So I don't want you to come to class scared. I want everybody to be able to participate in what we do, and at the level that they can participate in it.
Now, sir, one of the recurring themes, or one of the issues with martial arts, is you get people, they come for a year, they come for 2 years, they come even for 3 years. How do you maintain the interest? How do you deal with the fact is, okay, now I'm a black belt, I'm done.
Interest is on the person. We've always said you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. What you have to do is you have to find, you have to teach people to appreciate what they're doing, to appreciate that there's really no end to it. I learned to fight. I learned an art. I learned an instrument. I go to school. I go to school. I don't stop learning. They'll look at the people that go to high school and say, oh, graduated high school, done. Graduated college, done. You can't. So you have to help them find the love of what they're doing. If you need me constantly to be behind you, to make you come or to make you go on to the next year, then you're not loving it. You have to find what they love.
Well, I'm going to give you the answer that I wanted you to say. So,
what did you want?
And the answer to say is what you do that's great is you've got a black belt curriculum, you've got a second degree black belt curriculum, you've got a third degree black belt curriculum. One of the things that you do, which is great, I mean, for my fourth degree black belt test, I'm grappling. I'm doing the UFC stuff. And I got to tell you, I was watching it all Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, I remember when I first started training Taekwondo and I was watching the Hong Kong movies. And all of a sudden, oh, that's just the back kick. Oh, that's just the front kick. And all of a sudden, I'm watching the UFC. And now that I know it, oh, it's a half guard, it's a fall, it's a rear naked triangle choke. So what I think is great about what you do is that you bring extra stuff in. We do weapons, we do Filipino fighting sticks, we do nunchucks, we do
bow staff.
The bow staff. We do the grappling.
Swords.
We do the swords. Right. We do a lot of stuff, and it's never ending. But sometimes what I like to do sometimes, and you've probably seen me do it, is in the middle of the class, I'll go up to someone, and I'll get in their face, and I'll push them to see if they actually have a clue as how to defend themselves. And most of them know so many techniques that they don't know what to do.
we run the ideas that keep people in the KISS principle, which was...
Keep it simple, stupid.
Silly. If I said the S word, my daughter would go crazy when she sees it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Daddy, you said the S word. But again, that's motivation. That's love of it. There are so many things in martial arts that we do that I don't want to, you know, dissuade people, but sometimes they hurt. Falling hurts. Hitting somebody with your own bone, it hurts. Somebody grabs you. People are under the influence. The idea that if they defend themselves, there's not going to be any pain involved. They're just going to knock them out and it's going to be done. You got to think about what happened to your hand that knocked them out. So that's where I find that's why I put so much into the program. I said you were on your exam when the group was pre-testing, getting ready for their black belt exam, or the group that was confirming. You know, I asked them to do some stuff that they should have been learning in this time. And some of them had it all, and some of it didn't. Some of them didn't. And I explained to you that if they all had it,
right,
I would have known I had to add something to my program. So I didn't want them to be dissuaded by, oh, I wasn't ready for that exam. That just shows that there's enough meat in the program, and that's where I find the motivation again, by giving them enough stuff to hold on to and to love.
There's certainly a ton of stuff. I must know around 35, we call them PUMSE, forms.
Forms, definitely.
35 forms, not really even, well, that's, I guess that's counting. Well, who knows what it's counting. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. But the best thing that I found is, as a male, and as a thin male most of my life, because I was thin most of my life. You know, you get a little older, you eat the same amount, you balloon a little.
metabolism.
But, you know, I found that some guys, and I didn't really notice it until I started training in Taekwondo, they violate your space.
All the time.
They get in your... They get a little too close, they give you a little bit of the head, the neck thing, and they try to intimidate you. And I remember the first time that it didn't intimidate me. I remember thinking, okay, I could do a palm heel under the chin. I could just poke their eyes out. Give them a little bite on the leg with my hand.
A horse bite.
There's a thousand things. So I can just sit there smiling while they're trying to intimidate me, and they don't know what's going on.
No clue. That's what becoming a martial artist is. A lot of times it is. Is thinking of what you can do and knowing what you're supposed to do and then being able to decide what you are going to do. We do that, like, we have an after-school program. You're talking about how you keep people going.
The AMP program.
AMP program, after-school martial arts program. We have a lot of children in the program, and they come 5 days a week, and they're there 3 hours a day. So you have to find stuff that constantly keeps them motivated. And we have this child that comes every single day. They can't be doing the same thing, but sometimes they can do the same thing because each time they do it, they get better and better at it. And that's the idea of training. You have to help them find the love in what they're doing.
we got to give a shout out to the staff, Mrs. Howell.
Mrs. Howell,
who has taken this AMP program and just built it and built it, lowered the age from 6 to 3.
She's three is the Little Dragons, Mini Dragons program. She's allowing 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds to come into our after school program. We have Mrs. Howald, we have Mr. DeSantos, who volunteers, Mrs. McFadden, Miss McFadden, I just married off my goddaughter, Miss McFadden, we have Miss Walsh, who helps us out so much with our Little Dragons and Mini Dragons classes, and trains so well, and she's helped to bring in, we teach French, we're trying to work out programs with students that speak French, that they can come and train because she speaks fluent French. So she helps them through the class and through the movements and training. They learn English terms better. They learn the emphasis on words and things like that with her translating the French for them. We have just a host of black belts that help out. Mr. Burak, who helped out with your program. Mr. Madonna. It's such a family environment that... That's why I'm assuming you love being there, and I love being there.
Well, I love being there. I especially loved it when my family was with me, because I have 2 kids who are second-degree black belts.
Wow.
But you know what's great? And I've seen it in the school. People leave, people come back. The door is always open.
Always open.
So, sir, we're actually going to deviate and actually talk about music for a second. Okay. And I know that you gave some thought to this. So the first question is, if we sent you... on a desert island and you had a boombox and you had one CD or a box set, who would you bring?
Box. If I had a box set of like greatest music and I put together, I was thinking about it and I thought to myself, I thought Teddy Pendergrass. Because Teddy Pendergrass, he would speak on issues that I could think about, and I listened to that man's voice all the time, but I'd be listening to him talk about a woman. So I could remember how my life would be or was or could be if I get off this bloody island. It would give me the motivation to get off so I could get back to my wife.
Now, he was a member of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
And the Blue Notes. That's right. That's right.
If you don't love me by now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, Harold Melvin. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Teddy Pendergrass, rather. Kind of a sad figure. 2 car accidents kind of... Right. Ended his career, but
he still sang from that wheelchair. I still remember watching him in concert doing that.
Yeah. Give me another one. We got some time.
Marvin Gaye.
Okay. I love Marvin Gaye.
Very political, and so wow, he had a bad ending too.
Well, that was not his own fault.
Well, him and his father going
well,
at
his
it.
His father went insane, yeah. and
but I guess musicians they're dedicated, so. I don't know.
I think we are a little wacky. I have to say, we're not. I mean, look at Britney Spears.
Oh,
right?
Wow!
Although I already shaved my head. Okay. Marvin Gaye is just great.
Aaliyah.
Okay, you know what? Let's segue into we're doing the Master Edwards tribute at Madison Square Garden, and we're bringing. You have the magic power to bring people back from the dead, live
everybody
people.
Wow.
So who's playing at your show?
Playing my show.
At the Garden.
Rakim the Master.
Okay.
My lyricist.
Okay.
Kanye West, my controversial. Alicia Keys, my beauty and singer, along with Mariah Carey. So Alicia Keys brings the grit, Mariah Carey brings the glamour. New guy, Robin Thicke. Is doing
all right. I just was reading about him today.
I like his vibe.
Alan Thicke's son.
Alan Thicke's son. Wish I could remember the name. Thicke of the Night.
Right, right, right.
And I can't remember the name of his TV show. Let's see. Jay-Z. Bring back Biggie and Tupac.
Okay.
Then
so we're gonna have like a big war that night, right?
Well, you know, they're gonna get along.
Jimi
Hendrix is gonna bring the music in for the back to just hear Biggie, Tupac, Rakim the Master, Alicia Keys, Mariah Carey doing something with Jimi Hendrix playing by.
You know, that I am surprised more people have not sampled his stuff. You know what? From this television show, people are gonna hear it and it's gonna happen.
He'd make some awesome samples. I mean, going from the days of Run DMC, going with Aerosmith and so forth, that I believe Jimi Hendrix would make a great amount of music that would be good to sample in hip-hop.
What's very interesting is now they treat Hendrix like they treat Elvis. I mean, he makes more, I hate to say it, he makes more money dead than he made alive.
So does Tupac and Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, Biggie, number one album is Biggie's Greatest Hits. I mean, and in the world of Tupac, I mean, in the world of rap, which is notoriously, you know, my daughter thinks that a golden oldie is 2 years old. But she knows all of Biggie's stuff.
Definitely.
So, you know, Master Edwards, it's, what keeps you fighting? What keeps you fighting? What keeps you doing it?
Love. I love it. I love doing it. I just, it's funny, we're a competitor, so I train competitors. This month, I've had a tournament Sunday the 11th, Sunday the 18th, and I'm going to another one Sunday the 25th.
And you're
going to
email me the results.
I'm going to email you the results.
So I can post it on the website.
Go Tyler Great and Heather Vohl at the New Jersey State Championships yesterday. It's I just love doing it. I love watching people develop. I mean, I love watching you came to me as a black belt and going over again. I like watching the development that people have when they train. I like watching you play, coming to see you play your music and seeing, you know, just the presence that you have and seeing some of the movements that you do while you're playing. That's I love the art, and I love what it does to people.
Well, you know what? I think I need to take dance lessons. I think that would really help me because, you know, nowadays, to be a pop star, I'm a little too old to be a pop star, but you have to have...
Great to be a rock star.
Yeah, rock doesn't sell anymore. You know, I have to have, like, surgery to get my six-pack abs. I got to have my face done. Everything's choreographed. I mean, you actually have to do everything but sing and write now. They just need to do a complete makeover on you. One last thing I want to say, what's great about the center is as I remember the family classes. When I used to train with my kids, though I did get annoyed at my son for goofing off. But anyway, Master Edwards, it's always a pleasure
to talk to you. Sir. Thank you very much for having me.
And I will see you Wednesday.
Thank you.